All right, here we go. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Let's do a little sports talk radio. Bill Ryder with you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Appreciate you listening. Congratulations on not being Woody Johnson or Sean Payton. And if you are one of those two guys, what the hell is wrong with you? We'll get to that in a few minutes. Start bench cut on the menu today. Jake Trotter, ESPN college football reporter, will be on the program. Excited to visit with Jake. Great guy. By ourselves coming up. We will visit with, talk to the impeccably perfect Ryan underscore Hickey number 3. That dude's the best. 888-710-4ISN. If you want to call us, let me say it more slowly. Write it down. Save it in the phone. Get ready for your sports takes to be blasted across America. 888-710-4ISN. Michael Jordan is back in the limelight. The NBA. Oh, the NBA's return. Let's go. Kevin Durant tried to tell Chris Webber, hold my beer. You think you know how to call a timeout when you don't have a timeout? Hold my beer. But the officials missed it. We're getting a little Kevin Durant, Oklahoma City Thunder, Lakers, Warriors. We'll do some NBA predictions. Lots of stuff popping off on the show. Andrew Bogus will be on updates and a few surprises for you along the way. We talk constantly, I tell you constantly, about the many factors that shape an NFL franchise. An NFL franchise, and it's not just the guys on the field, that's critical, but you're talking 100 to 150 people who are critical to the success or failure of an organization. You're talking not just the players on the roster, maybe to a degree the players in the practice squad. You're talking the coaching staff, you're talking the people in the front office and the scouts, but at the very top of the pyramid, the most important single ingredient to success or failure, to glory or humiliation, to whatever culture you put together and how that plays out over the course of a season and seasons, is the owner of an NFL team. We talk about it all the time. And I try to tell you that Clark Hunt, who I know, so I can cite that one with a little more confidence, a little more information, is a gigantic part of the share pie. What's the opposite of a blame pie? The credit pie for why the Chiefs have become the Chiefs. And we can walk you through the reasons that good owners and bad owners do the things they do. And sometimes, like, so let's say Jerry Jones will be a little on the nose. We can kind of see it. But I want to credit Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, because it's easy to understand why a quarterback and how a quarterback impacts your football team. You see what he does day in, day out. If he's out there balling out, if he's Josh Allen, you're able to see and visualize and understand and go to the box score and watch the highlights for why your team is really good. Same can be true for a head coach. Same can be true to a certain degree for a GM. The owners are the most important. And in New York with the Jets, Woody Johnson has done something miraculous. He has pulled back the curtain on Oz. And he has shown us. It's almost a public service announcement. It's almost as if he did it on purpose. So you know what? Let me showcase the way in which ownership, in this case, incompetent, tone-deaf, inappropriate, immature, petty ownership, undermines a team. Do you know how bad the Jets have been for how long? Mark Sanchez, who now obviously is facing some serious consequences in his own life, is the last quarterback to have any kind of success with Sexy Rexy. And they did. They made back-to-back AFC Championship games 131 years ago. And I continuously talk about the ways in which the Cowboys are underwhelming and underperform and don't succeed and don't win playoff games because of Jerry Jones. But the Jets don't even get mentioned that often because they're so bad, they can't even, unlike the Cowboys, give the illusion of maybe being a good football team. And in the last 24 hours since we last spoke, Woody Johnson went out there and just showed us what it looks like when an owner meddles, and when he destroys a team, and when he creates a culture of blame, and when his insecurity and his thin-skinnedness clearly trickles down to everybody else. Now look, he's taken shots at Justin Fields, and I'm going to let you listen. I'm not going to pretend Justin Fields is good at his job. Justin Fields has missed a game and a half this year. He had the concussion, he missed, and he got benched for part of a game. But he's 0-6 in the games that he's technically started. Okay. He has 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions. Yay, not really. He's turned the ball over twice from fumbles. He's had multiple games with less than 50 passing yards. And in his limited time on the field, he has been sacked 22 times. And unlike Woody Johnson, who has to open his mouth and pronounce to the world, look at what a terrible factor and force I am on my football team, Justin Fields can't choose to hide that if he is smart enough or self-aware enough to do that. He has to go on the field and play football, and he's bad at football. And the eye test has shown us. He's been awful. But you've all had jobs with people that you've liked, and you've all had jobs, I would imagine, with people you don't. And you have to live your own life. You can't blame other people for when things go wrong. But who you work with and for has an impact. And this goes back to my retail days when I was in high school, but I can remember working for someone who always blamed everyone else for everything they ever did. Ever. And what it would create is a culture of fear from the boss, and you didn't want to make a mistake. And then finally, you're just like, bleep this, I don't want to be here. And that's what we have in New York. The Jets have been a disaster forever. The Jets haven't been able to succeed forever. Every coach and quarterback that goes in there is an absolute nightmare, in large part because the person in charge is a nightmare of a football owner. Listen to Woody Johnson. And he's you could spin this that he's defending Aaron Glenn, his new head coach. Remember, he hired Aaron Glenn. That's his largely decision. He doesn't want to take the blame for that. Listen to Woody Johnson just take, on the record, remarkable pot shots at Justin Fields.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. It's hard when you have a quarterback with, with a rating that we've got. You know, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league.
All right, so I've covered a lot of sports. I've covered the NBA, I've covered the NFL, I've covered college football and college basketball. And there are moments when you're on the beat or you're making the rounds as a national reporter. It's kind of like being a fan, but you're around these guys, you're around these press conferences all the time. There's maybe one every year and a half, where your jaw drops, where you literally sort of look around at your colleagues, just be like, did I hear that right? And in fairness, it happens with LeBron like 15 times a season. But outside of that guy, it's rare where you have someone in power say something so inappropriate, so disrespectful, so destructive. Do I need Woody Johnson to tell me that Justin Fields sucks right now? Excuse the language. I don't. There wasn't a light bulb that went off. I didn't rush to my computer and be like, wait. Is he not an MVP candidate? Did I confuse him with Baker Mayfield? We know that Justin Fields is struggling. We know he's not playing well. We know it hasn't worked out. We know that guy's confidence is shot. We understand he went from being the prize of the Chicago Bears to an opportunist, to a guy that had an opportunity of the Steelers to a cast off in New York. You think this is going to lead to the turnaround? You think this is going to make him more effective? You think this is going to make him better? This is an NFL owner just revealing to us the ways these guys matter. And I know it doesn't get talked about on sports talk radio often unless something like this happens. And even now, maybe other shows aren't going to talk about it. Don't know how, or it's not as sexy and interesting as Kevin Durant almost calls timeout, or whatever it is. This is the stuff that matters. These are the impacts that we don't see that shape your football teams. I always joke about how much I hate the Bears and how they're the worst. And do you know why the Bears haven't won in a generation? It's because they have awful ownership. Do you know why the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, who they drafted without a top 10 pick? Why Andy Reid is there, why they're a contender every year, it's because of Clark Hunt. It doesn't mean Andy Reid's not amazing. He's amazing. It doesn't mean Patrick Mahomes isn't amazing. He's amazing. Every artist, every talent, every person who has value in whatever business in the course of their life have to be put in a situation to succeed. And I'm going to lean into this Clark Hunt example because, again, I know it. Clark Hunt's father died 20 years ago. Clark was heartbroken. He took over control of the team. He's not the only owner. His siblings own it too. He's the controlling owner. He's the controlling sort of person for the family. And in the beginning, and I spent a lot of time around Clark Hunt his first 3-4 months on the job, in the beginning he was over his skis. He turned to Scott Pioli to be his GM. And by the way, we now know what a disaster Bill Belichick and his staff were without Tom Brady. We didn't know back then. We didn't know in the 2007-08 era. And Scott Pioli was a mess and awful and created a bad culture and didn't treat people well and brought up, remember Todd Haley? All these things. And Clark Hunt was able to be like, all right, that's my mistake. I screwed up. He fired that guy. He took responsibility and he went and hired a retread. Somebody who hadn't been able to get over the hump. somebody that was basically the Dan Marino of coaching, but not that good, and Andy Reid. The ability to learn, to stay off the radar. Clark Hunt never did interviews, didn't talk to the media. He just went about trying to teach himself how to be an owner. And he's not the only one. This is true for a lot of owners around the National Football League who know how to delegate, stay behind the scenes. Woody Johnson's the opposite. Woody Johnson sounds insecure, sounds petty. And if you're not self-aware, if you're insecure, if you can't read the room, if you don't know what you don't know, and for whatever reason no one will tell you, in this case because you're a very, very wealthy person who employs everyone, you are going to live in a world of delusion, a bubble of idiocy, because you can't see things clearly. And Woody wasn't done, by the way. We're going to talk, you're supposed to be talking about defense now, or the defense, or anything working out. Listen to Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, just get more random shots in at his quarterback.
I just think defense, special teams are doing better. Defense is pretty good. And if we can just complete a pass, it would look good. You know, we got to complete some passes. You got to convince them that you can do something. Otherwise, it's hard to have a game that... You can win.
What is this guy doing? Look, I know there's only so many head coaching jobs in the NFL, general manager jobs in the NFL, starting quarterback jobs in the NFL. But if I'm an agent of a player or a GM or a coach, I'm saving this. And when my client wants to be a Jet, I'm just pushing the play button. I'm saying things like, maybe you should go to Dallas. As crazy. Maybe you should be a Giant. As crazy as that sounds. That is such an unnecessary shot at his quarterback. You know, Justin Fields doesn't play defense. Justin Fields isn't a defensive player. He's a quarterback. And Woody slips it in. It reminds me of, look, none of us are perfect. It reminds me of when I'm really pissed off at my wife, but I'm mostly mad because I'm wrong. Do you ever have that? You ever have that where you get more and more mad at your partner? Ryan doesn't yet because he's engaged. That's about year three in the marriage cycle. But you realize you're Woody Johnson, but you keep doubling and tripling down, and then your wife will try to change the subject and say, "Well, okay, what do you think about taking the kids to dinner on Thursday?" Right? I can go to dinner. Happy to go to dinner. You know what's not dinner? You being an idiot. Just like the rage subject change. That's what Woody Johnson just did. What do you think about the defense? Defense is good. He sucks. You can't overcome this kind of ownership. You can't overcome what it does to a culture. You can't overcome this kind of fear. Look, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers guy. He is succeeding in Pittsburgh. You can like it. You cannot like it. Maybe he'll get injured. He is 42 years old. Maybe it won't work out. Aaron Rodgers, and I don't like him, and I don't know him. I don't like him as a quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers is arrogant. I think Aaron Rodgers is difficult. I think Aaron Rodgers throws people under the bus. I think he was worth all that trouble when he was 37 and winning MVPs. I don't think he's worth it now. But the difference, the reason I'm wrong this year, and I was right last year, is because Aaron Rodgers was put in one of the worst cultures in football because of its ownership a year and 2 years ago, and he's in one of the best cultures in football because of its ownership right now. And that ownership in Pittsburgh has a totally different approach. They've had a handful of coaches in their history. You can think Tomlin should be fired, shouldn't be fired. He's on the hot seat, and he wins. He just doesn't win playoff games. That consistency, that belief in stability, it ain't sexy. Hard to go on a sports talk radio show and be like, you know what we're going to start with today? Commitment and love from the Steelers to their coaches. But it matters. And what Woody Johnson just did is pull back the curtain and said the quiet part out loud. I am terrible at this job, and I'm reminding everyone that a bad owner is the key to a bad football team. Got to draft the right quarterback, doesn't matter if you're in the wrong place. Got to have the right coach, doesn't matter if you're in the wrong place. Bill Parcells is one of the, I don't know, three best NFL coaches of all time. The places he failed because of ownership. So Woody Johnson, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that not only are you the problem in New York, but your ilk, bad owners, will never, ever be saved by the people they bring in because they are the most important factors out there. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN if you want to give us a call. All right, NBA opening night, it's underway, had a couple games, it was pretty riveting, especially Rockets Thunder. Thunder got their banner and their rings. We're going to get into last night's action and give you some NBA predictions next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
This is Bill Writer with a Sports Minute. I'm not sure if the Chicago Bears, white knuckle of a win, that's terrible. I suck. That's the minute. I'm Bill Ryder.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
I gotta stop rolling on those. Is that a new one or an old one? I can't even tell.
A new one. Well, I did play it the other day, but it's new in the sense of I think this is either on Friday or Monday.
I'm Bill Ryder. I suck. That's the Sports Minute.
I got a few others if you want me to, you know, bring them up.
I've heard them. Good morning, Ryan Hickey. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm good. NBA is back. By the way, you're not going to be able to keep this up, but that Thunder Rockets game was amazing. As my son would say, it was a banger, Dad. It's a 6-7. I mean, it was 6-7.
Oh, he's on the 6-7 train.
Oh, dude, they're actually off it. They were on for 3 months. They were ahead of it.
That's good. So at least it's out of your head.
Yeah, we get things earlier in L.A. I said it the other day, and I think my daughter, my son goes, Dad, that's so yesterday. I'm like, yeah, you said it yesterday.
The world moves fast when you're a teenager, I guess.
World moves quick. What was it, a double overtime extravaganza? Thunder won yesterday against the Rockets. Interestingly, for Oklahoma City, this is Kevin Durant's debut. Look, I think the Thunder are going to be outstanding. I know KD's older, but in a lot of ways, it's the perfect fit. Young team in Houston who are remarkable defensively, put in the effort. And look, Kevin Durant's like Steph Curry plus when it comes to defense. Is on his own in isolation, is Kevin Durant a defensive player of the year? No, he is not. But where Steph uses his hands, led the league in steals 1 year, and his hand-eye coordination, his athleticism, Durant has those things, but he's a beast of a man. He's 6'11", 7 feet tall. And so when Durant plays on really good defensive teams, he has a huge defensive impact. He becomes a net positive. And so you're on a Rockets team where they're going to be great on defense. They have young players. They have some scorers, but they're largely inconsistent. KD can be the sure thing offense. Now, Operon Shangun was amazing last night. I think it's going to be really good. It almost began with Durant pulling a Chris Webber because at the end of just before the first overtime, he was calling a timeout, saying timeout. I mean, if he had had a stamp, he would have stamped timeout onto his forehead. But the officials, air quotes, didn't see it, air quotes, over to spare him because they didn't have a timeout. Would have been a tactical foul, would have been the game over. But it was a hell of a game, hell of a contest. Warriors beat a LeBron-less. He was there. He looked all put out. I'm LeBron. I'm sad. We're going to get into LeBron with my buddy tomorrow. Wrote a great book on LeBron James. Got a bunch of news coming out. Lakers go down to the Warriors. I like the Warriors' chances this year. I don't think we need to break down the games per se. It's a single game. You know what? It was cool hearing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander talk about the banner and the rings. I like that. I like SGA a lot, reigning MVP. Why don't we just, because Thunder fans, congratulations, it's your first ever championship. What a moment for a city, and not just for the Thunder. They're the only professional sports team there. That is the city of Oklahoma City's first ever professional championship, and the guy who was most responsible, it's a team effort, for making it happen, did talk about what it was like yesterday in Oklahoma City with the banner going up and that championship being celebrated as well as deserved to be so.
Yeah, it was surreal. I don't know how to describe it besides that. It was super fun, though. Seeing the banner raised was cool, too, knowing that it'll be up there forever. And we are the first group to bring the city a championship. It was a pretty special feeling.
I'm going to lean into making fun of me for the rejoins. I just said, as well, it was deserved to be so. I don't even know what that means. You should cut that and then play it with a void of silence from our guy, from our dude, too. I just two-ed that thing. Look, as was deserved, that was hoped to be so with the Infinity Press. What are you talking about, Ryder? I don't know. What is today, Wednesday? Happy Wednesday. The Thunder were outstanding. So I think what I want to do, Ryan, if you're cool with this, is I just want to run really quickly through MVP prediction, top four in the East and West prediction, conference finals prediction, and then finals showdown and finals winners. I'll give you mine, you give me yours, and I have a brand new, you want to hear the really fancy imaging we put together? And now it's time for the 2025-26 Brighter Than You, It Went Well, Deserved to Be So, Void of Silence, NBA Predictions. Alright, this is paint by numbers. This is you. Do you want to start with the teams, or do you want to start with the MVP award?
And let's start with the teams, and then build our way up.
Alright, so I'm going to start in the East. And my top four, in terms of how they're going to finish in the standings this year, I'm going to go Cleveland 1, huge season for Cleveland. They've got the thing that, by the way, even though the Thunder have, because they're young, are a big part of the reason the Thunder are defending champions. They have a level of continuity that other teams don't have. Now, that lack of continuity in some cases is because I think some of the other contenders in the East are really good but haven't been together as long, and some of it's because of injuries that have just felled the holy hell out of some of these organizations and some of these teams. So, give me Cleveland, finish one. I'll take the New York Knicks to be the second-best regular season team, Ryan. Now, we know that sometimes things can go off the rails a little bit in New York in terms of minutes and wear and tear and all that stuff. Orlando, I like the Magic to be 3, and I like Detroit to be 4. Some of that is because I think both of those teams are going to make jumps. Some of that is because you've got no Jason Tatum for injury this year with the Celtics. They're decimated by injuries. You've got no plan in Milwaukee outside of Giannis is there. I still think Doc Rivers is a total disaster. I don't. Some people like Atlanta this year, but Trae Young is the epitome of fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't fool me again. I'm not falling for it. So I'll go Cleveland, New York, Orlando, Detroit as my top four in the regular season. And then I will go Cleveland over the Knicks in the conference finals. Chalk for me.
Chalk. I will go Knicks 1.
Wow. Knicks. You're a Knicks fan. Full disclosure.
Hand up. I'm a Knicks fan. I do think the coaching change, bringing Mike Brown in, maybe saving some of the minutes and the legs could help. Also, I'm going to put Cleveland 2. I'm curious your thoughts about this.
Okay.
It felt like Cleveland took a lot of teams by surprise last year with how well they played, that now they have an off season. Do you think, even though, like you said, there's a lot of continuity, not many changes, still very talented, then maybe they come back to the pack a little bit just with how dominant and consistent they were last year?
Like, I think guys like Evan Mobley are going to make... I think he still has levels. He played really well last year. I think there are levels more... I think he can level up a little bit. No, I for me, it's not sexy, but continuity and consistency is everything. I think it's part of the reason LeBron doesn't have as many rings as he should. Because he keeps jumping around and playing GM and changing teams. And that is the thing that Cleveland has more than any team that aren't the Thunder. They have, even the Knicks are trying to still figure out Carl Anthony Towns. They have a new head coach. That's a chance. There's changes there. No, I'm not worried about. Here's the other thing. You're right. People aren't going to look past Cleveland. I suppose it's true. But who are you worried about? The East is bad this year.
The East is very bad. I would agree.
It's not very good.
Which is why I still am at 2. Like, I think they'll take a small step back. But I think I think it's the Knicks and them definitely like.
We're the same range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the Pistons 3. I think, to your point, talk about continuity and taking a leap. I think Detroit takes a nice leap this year after a successful season last year. And maybe it's just the logo, and maybe I'm giving this team too much credit and not accounting for injuries as much as I should. I'm going to say the Celtics finish 4th.
Wow, you're afraid of the Celtics.
I'm afraid of the Celtics, but also you're higher on Orlando than I am.
I like Orlando.
Otherwise, you look around. You mentioned the Bucks. Don't feel good about them whatsoever in that roster construction. I'm not buying into the Hawks. And so, like, you kind of quick look around of, like, who could be the top 4 seed? And it's like,
right,
there's not many teams to choose from that I feel good about. So even though the Celtics
Heat
are banged up.
Yeah, are a hot mess. I mean, they're well coached. We know they're well coached, but that's not enough.
There's not a lot of talent there.
Yeah. This is the year that if you're Cleveland or New York, this is the year.
This is the window.
This is the window. All right. Who do you got in the conference finals?
I'm going to take the
Knicks.
I know
you're doing it. Can I predict what you're going to
do? Sure.
Knicks over Cleveland?
So I just realized I was going to take the Knicks over the Celtics, but I can't because they match up earlier than the conference finals. I'm going to take the Knicks over the Pistons. I don't trust right now that the Cavs in the playoffs. Mitchell and his...
That's
propensity
real,
to not be efficient at all. Like, I got for them, I want to see it before.
Donovan Mitchell's weird because who's like a super clutch player? I mean, Donovan Mitchell can be
like Steph.
He has Patrick Mahomes moments. Okay. He has Patrick Mahomes games, but then he'll have a lot of Dan Marino. Well, that's not fair. He'll have a lot of Peyton Manning games. I'm sorry to do it. I mean, a lot of.
We could run like Justin Fields, like just don't
you know what?
Chucking.
Let me do it again. Let me start over. He'll have some Mahomes games. Like, he'll score 50 or 60 in a series and or hit a, you know, have a 21-point or 17-point fourth quarter where he hits a buzzer beater. That's real. He'll have Mahomes moments over the course of the playoffs. But he'll also have 2 times or 3 times as many Dak Prescott moments. And so it's hard for me to just know what... I know he can do it, but But I also know there's a chance that he's going to not just not do it, but you're right. He's going to go 9 of 30 from the field and go 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter. He's hard to peg. All right. We're going super long, aren't we? We got to speed this up. Sanders, wait. All right, here we go. Western Conference. Oklahoma City 1, Houston 2, and if they can manage Durant's minutes, I think better to be 4 and have Durant play, in my opinion, 27 minutes a game than be ready for the entirety of the season. I'll go Denver 3, and I like the Timberwolves at 4. I will say this. You could point to the Clippers and you could make a case. You could make a case for the Warriors. I mean, there are. I think San Antonio is going to be a lot. I think they're going to make giant, if Wemby can stay healthy, giant leaps every year. So there are a lot of teams that the West isn't. The Mavericks are going to be. They don't deserve to be, but Dallas could be really good. Cooper Flagg is going to be incredible if those other guys can get right and stay right. So it's the West is deep, but I'll go Thunder 1. I don't think championship hangover is going to matter. There's nothing to do in Oklahoma City. I've lived there. I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying, like, you're going to focus on basketball. They have an amazing culture. Shea's a great leader. They have a football culture in that town, so they're going to keep on keeping on. Houston 2, Denver 3, Minnesota 4.
We have the same 4 and really the same order. The only difference is I have Denver 2, Houston 3. I'm just maybe with the Kevin Durant addition and the transition, it maybe takes a little bit longer to kind of gel and kind of get a flow as you kind of turned over that roster a little bit. But I agree with you. With the Clippers, let me ask you this really fast. Do you think this aspiration investigation that's not going anywhere could have an impact on the court?
The Pablo Torre thing?
Right.
The thing is, Pablo is so good at his job, he's going to keep finding reporting and finding stuff. If you've missed this Pablo Torre from Pablo Torre finds out, has revealed some what appear to be real shenanigans where the Clippers are alleged to have circumvented the cap, and it sure looks like Adam Silver's looking the other way because he doesn't want to deal with it. And I think they're going to get asked all the time about it.
To your point, there's new things that come out every week, including, I think, late last week, there was a new reveal about aspiration and who went to them first. Seems like there's a contradiction there. So it's not going away now that the season's here.
It's not buy or sell, but I will ask you later, buy or sell, that the real reason Kawhi Leonard kept getting hurt, he was planting so many trees. He spent millions of dollars with trees.
That's taxing. I would buy that.
He didn't plant the trees. No show job, apparently. I'm going to go. It's tricky because it's a process to learn to win, and I'm not a. I think Kevin Durant's a hang-around champion. I think he is the greatest number two player in the history of the sport. I think he's not an alpha. I think he's a beta, which is fine. It's okay to be a beta. It's okay. People like beta fish. People like whatever. Oh, it's fine. I don't think he's ever been the best player on any of his teams that did anything. I think it was Steph. That said, I think his addition is critical, and I think in the right, it's the perfect fit. I'm going to go Houston over the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. Yeah.
Big prediction.
I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to take the Thunder over the Nuggets, 1 over a 2 seed.
All right, Cleveland are NBA champions over Houston for me. The Cleveland Cavaliers win a championship without LeBron James. And in a shocking twist, Cleveland fans burn LeBron's jersey for no reason during the celebrations.
I'm here for that. That'd be exciting. Dangerous. Should have a lot of fire extinguishers ready to go. I think the Thunder repeat. I'll take the Thunder over the Knicks in the finals.
It's not a bad pick. All right, we're going to do some other NBA stuff later at the end of the show. We got to get to MVP. We got to get to Rookie of the Year. But I want to get to Andrew, and I want to save time for a great start bench cut. Ryan put a lot of time and effort into it. It's really good, and it's coming up after a Sports Flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Guys, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Prize Picks. Football's heating up and basketball's back, so download the Prize Picks app and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. It was not the best debut for Kevin Durant. He did score 23 points in his first game as a Rocket, but there were also 4 turnovers, a crucial missed free throw, the foul that put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the free throw line for the deciding free throws, and calling a timeout that he didn't have but did avoid a technical foul. It was a 125-124 Houston loss in double OT in OKC after the Thunder got their rings and raised their championship banner. SGA finished with 35, courtesy of those 2 free throws with 2 seconds left. Luka Doncic, 43 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists in his first opening night as a Laker, but in a 119-109 home loss to the Warriors, who got 31 points from Jimmy Butler and 23 from Steph Curry. And Broncos linebacker Dre Greenlaw losing the appeal of his one-game suspension for yelling at the referee right after Sunday's win over the Giants, so he will miss this weekend's game with the Cowboys. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I'm Bill Ryder, the Sports Minute. Bill Ryder's the best. Let's go, America!
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Many people that are hosts on radio stations are not the same way on the air as they are off the air. Some are. Would you agree that I'm exactly the same off the air as I am on the air?
I would very much agree with that, yes.
Yeah. For better or worse.
For better or for worse.
It's what you... Damn you, man. Damn, son.
Well, we agreed on Monday for better or for better. We don't
do
for better or worse anymore.
You're right. It is. This, if you missed this, my new thing on marriage vows is, and that Ryan should utilize this when he gets married next year or the year after, whenever the hell his wedding is it next year?
We've yet to set a date, so it could be next year.
Yeah, whenever it is.
2027, could be never.
The vow should be for better or better. If that's how you're built. If you're a better or worse person, rock and roll. I am. I can rock the worse. I've rocked some worse, Lori. Just kidding. For better, but if you're a for better or better person, you know, for example, LeBron James, he's a for better or better person with his teams. Do you take this contract for better or better? Yeah, that's exactly how I take this contract. Most NBA players do. I'm gone. Kevin Durant's a for better or better guy. Who's a for better or worse guy? Damian Lillard, I think, was a for better or worse for a long time with Portland.
Yes, that's a great one.
Yeah. You know what, Giannis? By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this. Giannis, Brian Winters reported that Giannis could have been a New York Knick. Brian Winters is also the person, I like Brian, went to his wedding, one of the many people who downplayed my report a year ago that Giannis could end up going to New York. Have you noticed that?
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, it happens to me a lot.
Love that.
I like Brian, but like, there's a game within the game, and NBA coverage is largely manipulated and controlled by factions. I mean, Shams works for, or is rep by the exact agency that is basically run by Rich Paul, and Rich Paul is LeBron's guy. I'm not saying that Shams sells out because he happens to have been made a multimillionaire by the very person who works with LeBron. I'm just saying there are people who perceive it that way, almost certainly unfairly, for better or better. All right, let's do Start Bench Cut.
It's Start Bench Cut on Writer Than You.
Oh, Bill. So with the NBA back means we also got our first taste of the NBA on NBC coming back.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people love the theme song. So let's do a little Start Bench Cut of some of the best theme songs in sports with some help. So let's start with Start Bench Cut, one of them, the NBA on NBC. We also have the SEC on CBS.
Pretty good, too.
And let's finish with MLB on Fox. People are underrated. That looks pretty good.
They're all good.
So Start, Bench, Cut, those three sports theme songs.
People can't see me, but I'm doing the hardcore head bob dance where you can throw your neck and kind of, you know.
Oh, that head is bobbing.
I'm going to start the NBA on NBC, and it might be the nostalgia of it, right? Look, the microphone should work, but I thought their coverage was largely pretty impressive. I thought the Jordan interview was really cool. I'm going to go next up. I'm going to bench SEC on CBS. There's a lot going on there musically, you know? There's some rhythm. There's some power, right? There's a little emotion. And I'm going to reluctantly cut the MLB on Fox. I like it. I like the music. I will say this. Fox likes to be edgy. They like to push the envelope, right? They're the first one to do the yellow line, and it's a little... It's a little too fast for a sport that's still kind of slow.
Okay, all right. I like that critique. Since we just were talking about it, let's start bench.
I have one for you.
Oh, okay.
Start bench me as a music critic, because you just heard them. Start bench me as a television critic. Okay. You gonna write these down? Starch bent me as a relationship critic. For example, I once took Stuart Kovacs out to dinner. It's a true story. When he had a different girlfriend, told him to break up with her.
To continue that story, he eventually listened, and now he's a great girlfriend.
That's a great girlfriend.
And his life is totally for the better.
Angie, you're welcome.
So you know what? I'm actually going to start Bill, the relationship critic. Okay. I will bench Bill, the TV critic. I think you do have a really good taste in TV shows. Yep. And I will cut Bill, the music critic.
You did that right. That's the correct order, yes.
Speaking of relationships and for people in better or better, start bench cut these NBA players that are truly for better or for better. LeBron, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler. Who is most better for better or better?
Oh, who's more about, okay. Wow.
Like who's the most, basically, as soon as there's one sign of danger, running for the hills, don't call, don't text, see you
all
never.
Right. So I'm going to, only in the context of this conversation, I am going to cut LeBron James. Because he's definitely a for better or better guy, but he's never forced his way out somewhere. He's forced everyone else out. He's thrown other people under the bus. He's gotten coaches fired. He's thrown GMs under the bus. By the way, also, LeBron told me I was a bleeping liar for saying he has something to do with Anthony Davis being traded. And there's some reporting out there right now that that's what happened. So he doesn't run for the hills. He has other people packed off and sent to the hills. Okay. But I'll cut him. Wow. For better or better. More of on that front than... Is Jimmy Butler or Kevin Durant? You know what? I'm going to go Kevin Durant. It's true with Butler, but Butler will make it a couple years, even if he makes it toxic, right? Kevin's just out. And Butler will tell you, I want out of here. I hate you. Kevin's like, you're my best friend. And then he's just gone out the back door. He Irish goodbyes relationships. NBA relationships. Speaking of NBA relationships. Like... The ball of his chosen profession, he'll just bounce.
Nice. If this is buy or sell, I'd buy that. I like that.
I know you. I saw you look for the wrong segment.
Oh, that's funny. How about this, Bill? So Ohio brewery announced they are banning kids from the premises starting at 7 o'clock every night because, as they state, their outdoor space wasn't intended to be a playground for kids. Start bench cut, the worst place to bring, let's say, young kids 10 and under.
Right.
A bar?
Yep.
A ball game?
Yeah.
Airplane?
This is a question that could only be written by someone who doesn't have kids. And you will look back in 7 or 8 years, and you will hate this version of yourself. And I want you to give yourself some grace. You didn't know.
I'm not saying you don't love your kids.
None of these places are bad places.
They are.
I take my kids to all these places.
I'll say this, it's tougher with kids than with not. Like, if you were going to go.
Tell me about your experience with your kids. I want to hear about it. You're an expert in this.
I've been in plenty of places where there have been kids in my vicinity, not mine. And I'm like, thank God that's not me.
Well, the issue then is the parents of those kids and how they. I was playing, shocker, tennis last night, the other day, in the afternoon, and there were kids running around screaming. Is it on the kid or on the parents?
You can take kids. The parents.
All right. So your question is terrible.
What?
And I cut your question. You can take the kids to all those places.
No, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying the worst, like the most from your as a parent perspective, where you got to really work overtime and you go to a bar to enjoy some drinks at a time. You go to the ball game to enjoy whatever game's going on. Watch your team. You go on an airplane to get to hopefully a place you want to enjoy.
Kids have to take a bus. Like, what is your point here?
I'm more saying the most difficult place to kids. Rank these three.
This is the first time in the history of 8 years of this show in any of these segments I refuse to answer the question.
What?
I take my kids on an airplane all the time. We're flying to New York City for Thanksgiving. I'm not going to make Henry and Madeline bus separately.
I'm not saying you can't.
Of course,
I'm just saying some places you take them are more. If you take them to McDonald's, then I'm sure they're going to be thrilled because it's McDonald's. I'm going to play in the playset, happy meal. I'm going to be happy. That's easy.
This is LeBron of questions. You don't know what you're talking about, but you keep doubling down. What's your favorite Godfather line? I like all of them. No, you don't. You've never seen The Godfather. You're a liar.
One day, I hope to have kids, and I would love to bring such a son to a baseball game.
Why would it be a problem to take a kid to a ball game?
I'm not saying but it is. Like, if you're going, this is how I'm viewing it. If you're going to watch, if I'm bringing my son to watch a baseball game, I know I'm not watching the baseball game. Because if he's like 5 years old, he's going to
walk. How do you know? You don't have kids. What are you talking about?
He's going to go to the bathroom. He's going to walk around.
What are you talking about?
Kids don't, like, they're not going to sit there for 3 hours.
Ryan Hickey.
And watch the baseball.
Child expert.
And fart because they don't know what's going on.
Child expert. If they ever launch a parent network, you should do that as a second job. Like, what are we doing here?
If you go to a bar.
You're trying to lecture me on why you can't take kids to a baseball game? That's the.
It's rowdy.
No.
No, I'm not.
I take my kids to bars all the time, especially when we're traveling.
You can't bring them. All I'm simply asking is the most difficult place to bring them.
You just tried to tell me that baseball games are brutal because they're going to walk around and go to the bathroom to get cotton candy.
You're not going
to
watch the game. That's a fact.
Oh, I've taken my kids to a game. Here's a fact. I watch the game. So do they.
It's difficult to have
Are you aware that three-month-olds are different than five-year-olds? It's not the same.
When Henry was five, and you take him to a Dodgers game or a Cubs game, he's going to love it, I'm sure. But is Henry going to sit there for 3 hours locked in on every pitch?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
When Henry was around five, he went to game six or five of the NLCS at Wrigley.
And?
They watched the game.
He was You said, Henry, you can't move, sit down, and enjoy the game. And he sat there.
I mean, do you never go to the bathroom during a baseball game? You don't go one time. You don't go to the bathroom.
I do.
You bring an adult diaper?
And I'm strategic.
So does he. He's a human being.
But when you're 5 years old, you don't
know
any
better. What are you doing?
What does it matter if I go to the bathroom? Why do I have to wait 10 minutes for the inning to end? I got to go now, Daddy. And you're going now.
Can we delete this so Lauren doesn't hear this and have second thoughts about you as a father?
This I did. I think I've asked way worse questions than this one.
Yeah, but you haven't.
Wow. This did not go as I thought it was going to go. Okay.
He's not in the bathroom for seven innings. What are you talking about, dude? The cotton candy comes to you. Have you ever been to a baseball game? Cotton candy. Oh, I'll take one. Sounds good. It'll be $8, and your kid's got to go to the restroom for the next five innings. That's not how it works.
Okay. All right.
Get your hot dogs in the parking lot over there. You got to leave the ballpark to get it with your kid.
One day, I'm going to hope to have a few kids.
What if I bring to the baseball game, you, tell dude? Them, you know what? You know what? Hold on. What's today? Today's Tuesday?
No.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Bum of the week territory.
No. First of all, I'm not the Ohio brewery that brought this up. They're the one who banned the kids. I'm not saying ban the kids from any of these places. I'm just saying from a parent perspective, you can't enjoy a ball with kids the way you could if you were alone.
They have Hawkeye bars, they have Colts fans bars, they have Auburn fan bars, now they have We Hate Kids or Don't Understand Them bars, and this is your bar. You should fly to Ohio and you should go to this bar. You'll be cheered when you walk in.
I want to be cheered. I'm not looking to be cheered. I'm not anti-kid.
Yeah.
I did Segment's not see over. This coming.
Segment's
Thank
over.
Thank goodness.
Man, I'm shocked we got through it. I'm sure Henry's somewhere distracting me. What are you doing? You know what's never a distraction? Talking football, Jake Trotter, who's next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Jake Trotter is a senior college football writer for ESPN. He was at Ohio State, Michigan on Saturday. He's on Twitter or X at @Jake_Trotter. Massively talented dude, and we're very lucky to have him on the show. Jake, good morning, pal.
Bill, good to talk to you, buddy.
Good to talk to you, too, pal. So let me ask you this, and this is a little far afield, but it's my pet topic. I don't know why I'm obsessed with Nebraska football. Two-part question.
Oh, me, that's two of us.
I really am, right? So is Nebraska
– Because you and I are from the part of the country where Nebraska was had an incredible program and had this aura about it, and it's sad for people like us, whether from Missouri or Oklahoma, to see that program – struggle the way it has. I think that's part of it. But go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, I was, as a student, I was at, remember the kick game where Missouri was going to beat Nebraska for the first time in 100 years, and a Nebraska receiver kicked the ball backwards, and another guy dove and caught it. And then fast forward, one of the last stories I did at the Kansas City Star was driving up to talk to Tom Osborne when he was athletic director, right? And just, I have so much connection to that program, my family from there. My question for you is, in the modern reality of college football, what is the likelihood that that program is salvageable on any level approaching what it used to be, even being just a perennial top 20, 25 team? And in connection to that, Jake, long question, what do you make of Matt Rhule and his sort of ability to do that and what his candidacy level should be for a job like Penn State?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, if Indiana could be the number two team in the country, why can't Nebraska? So I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible for Nebraska to claim some form of its former glory. And if you see a program like Oklahoma, which is similar to Nebraska in a lot of ways, you know, they've been a little bit up and down the last few years, but seem to be up again. Like, I don't think Nebraska is ever going to be Tommy Frazier, Tom Osborne, Mike Rozier, Nebraska, right? That's just, that would be asking a lot. But could they be a 10-win team that, like, is in the playoff? I would think yes. And I don't understand why they have been really so anemic since going to the Big Ten. When you remember, go back when they first made the move from the Big 12, it kind of felt like, well, they're going to dominate that Big Ten West. I mean, who's there? Wisconsin? Like, they're a better program than Wisconsin. And yet, you know, they broke their seven straight seasons with a losing record last year, and they only went 7-6. You know, Matt Rhule was off to a 5-1 start, and then they had that horrible loss the other day. So, I don't know. Like, I'm puzzled by Nebraska's inability to, you know, be a more competitive program, especially given that, you know, they're competing against the Iowas and Minnesotas and Northwesterns of the world. Like, they should just be better than they've been. So it's been puzzling to me. You know, as far as Matt Rhule, I think he's a really good coach. You know, he's demonstrated that, you know, Temple, Baylor, Nebraska to some degree. He has strong ties to Penn State in multiple ways, whether it's the fact that he was a walk-on linebacker there in the 90s under Joe Paterno, or, you know, he's a close relationship with the AD there, Pat Kraft, who was the AD at Temple when Matt Rhule was there, and they won back-to-back. They had back-to-back 10-win seasons. But, you know, he's going to need a little bit of momentum, I think, for Kraft to make that type of sell, because you get rid of James Franklin, who is a 10-win machine, couldn't win the big game, but, you know, Penn State wins 10 games every year under Franklin. And you bring in Matt Rhule, who hasn't exactly lit the world on fire in big games either. You know, that's going to be a tough sell, I think, for some of the donors if Nebraska doesn't turn it around and really finish strongly.
Jake Trotter,
I don't know where Penn State goes, and I don't know where Nebraska goes, but it is going to be fascinating to see what happens with both those programs, especially if Rhule leaves Nebraska and goes to Penn State. Like, what does that say about where Nebraska is?
It really is. You and I are 100% aligned. I'm so interested in those two schools and Oklahoma, and I want to get to Oklahoma in a second. Let me just finish, put a bow on this Penn State-Nebraska conversation with, there are some really good jobs open right now. Obviously, the money that you can sort of bring to spending on players, NIL, transfer portal, all of those things are vastly different than 5 years ago. In today's world, how good of a job is the Penn State job? What is its level when you're talking about, if you're an aspiring coach, whether you crave that or should or should not?
Well, I think Penn State, it's a top 10 job.
Top 10, wow.
For a few reasons. I mean, number one, and this is part of the reason they made the move at coach, was because they have put in an enormous amount of resources into that program. They looked at what Ohio State did last year with the $20 million roster, bringing in Chip Kelly to call plays. That they said, we're going to emulate that. We're going to keep our guys from going to the NFL. We're going to keep Drew Aller, Katron Allen, Nicholas Singleton, on and on. We're going to go get a big-time coordinator. Oh, by the way, we're just going to take Ohio State's defensive coordinator, who just won a national championship, Jim Knowles. What's it going to cost? We'll get the money. You know, our stadium's getting a little bit outdated. All right, we're going to renovate it for $700 million. That's ongoing right now. Should be done by the 2027 season, I believe. So, like, they have made the type of financial investment that would suggest that Penn State is a top 10 job. So if you're a coach and you're looking at that job, you're like, we can compete with anybody in the country in terms of NIL. Penn State's already demonstrated that. So, and then you look at, you know, you got players in Pennsylvania, you got players in Ohio, where Drew Aller was from. You got a lot of talent, you know, within driving distance to State College. And then, you know, you look at the Big Ten. Yeah, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Oregon. But, you know, like, there's a lot of Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State, too. So I think it's a really good job, and clearly the best job, I think, right now, that's available, and that includes Florida. I think Penn State, just because the SEC is so competitive, there's so many good programs. I mean, look this year. It's like 10 teams you could make a case, could make the playoff. It's not the case in the Big Ten. So I think it's a really good job, and I think you can win a lot of games at Penn State.
It's such an interesting conversation. Jake Trotter here on the show. Jake, you're a very accomplished national college football writer, reporter for ESPN, but I met you when I, as we've discussed on the air and otherwise, as a man on the street at an Oklahoma practice or something. You covered Oklahoma football earlier in your career. You know it really well, locally and nationally. And I'm curious what you make of the state of that program. And a very similar question for you to Nebraska. In the modern world, what's a realistic sort of level that you think Oklahoma is going to be at in 2 or 3 or 4 years?
Well, I think that they're close right now to being a playoff team. I had them in the playoff before, you know, they lost to Texas. And you can make the case that if Matera doesn't injure the thumb on his throwing hand, that, you know, maybe they're a little bit more competitive in that game. He didn't look right. And, you know, threw a bunch of, I think, 3 interceptions, and they just couldn't get anything going offensively. This is a really huge stretch for them coming up. It's a defining stretch for the state of the program because they've got 5 top 12 teams to close out the year. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think it's
Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, my Missouri Tigers, LSU.
Yeah, so I don't know where Missouri – where's Missouri ranked now?
15.
Okay, so you have 5 top 15 teams. You play 5 top 15 teams. Like, that's tough. So can you go – if you go 3-2 in that stretch, you have the non-conference win over Michigan, you're 9-3, you're going to have the best 9-3 resume of anybody in the country. We'll see if that's enough to get you in the playoff, but you're at least in the conversation. And I think in the SEC, just given the fact that you have to go through LSU and Georgia and Alabama, and, I mean, just go down the list, that's a pretty good – season for Oklahoma. You know, they're not going to go 12-0 like they used to in the old Big 12, but I think that things are looking up there pending what happens over the next month. Now, if they go 0-5, then now we're having a different conversation, and that's not inconceivable. Like, there's a lot of tough games coming up, but if they can go 3-2, get to 9-3, I think that's a pretty good year, you know, given the strength of the SEC, given the non-conference against Michigan, and just kind of given the pressure that Brent Venables was under coming into this season.
Yeah, the SEC is vicious. Jake Trotter on the show. Jake, I've told this story on the air before. You certainly probably don't know this. Where I live in L.A., I see celebrities all the time. It's such a cliche. And I see, in the offseason, Lane Kiffin constantly, to the point where when I'm playing pickleball, if I hit my pickleball in Lane's court, he won't even give it back to me. He's a character. If I saw Lane Kiffin, and he doesn't know me, but he walked up to me and said, I need Jake Trotter's phone number right now, and I just handed it to him. And he called you and said, Jake, should I stay at Ole Miss or should I move on somewhere else? What's the advice you or someone close to Lane should be giving him? Should he go to the next big job, or can he win a national championship at Ole Miss?
I think he's got a pretty good thing going there. You know, you got to be careful what you wish for, and the grass isn't always greener. And anytime you change jobs, you lose a lot of the political capital you've built up, and you're kind of starting fresh. It's like anything else, right? Like if we took a new job at another company, you know, you really don't have that carryover from all that you've accomplished at your previous job. And, you know, presumably he would take another SEC job. You know, you're a couple bad seasons from getting fired. So I think Ole Miss, I mean, they're showing it this year that, you know, you can certainly make the playoff. If they finish strong, they'll be in the top 12. They've been really good the last couple of years. And I think it's a pretty good situation for him. So, like, you know, if Alabama comes up or Georgia comes up, you know, maybe you think about that. But if you're asking me, should he go to Florida? I don't know. I think he's got a pretty good setup at Ole Miss right now.
Jake Trotter, let me. So we've got Indiana right now, right? Second best team in the country. And it's not like they came out of nowhere, had a really good season last year. Vandy is, what are they? Are they 10th? I think they're 10 in the country right now. I know BYU has maybe more of a history, but they're 11. Is there something about some of these programs and where they are? Is there something about the state of college football today that explains why there are some programs traditionally we never talked about that appear to be on the verge of being powerhouses?
Well, I think in the case of Indiana, they go get Kurt Cignetti, who, you know, clearly is a top-line coach. But he also brings a bunch of outstanding players from JMU with him. It jumpstarts Indiana because they have an influx of talent. They go get a transfer quarterback from Ohio who's an all-MAC player in Curtis Rourke. They have a pretty manageable schedule last year. And so they have this great season, and then they built off that. Now you've got investment coming in. You've got money coming in. They make another shrewd quarterback transfer addition in Fernando Mendoza from Cal, who's a tremendous player. A lot of those JMU guys are still there, you know, making plays on both sides of the ball. So I was talking about this the other day with respect to the Oklahoma State job. Like, do you look at some of these group of five programs, if that's the direction you go, you go try to hire a coach who can bring a bunch of guys with him? Like, that might be a strategy we see. And, you know, never would have thought of that before in terms of, you know, who to hire as a head coach. Like, what players can that person bring with him? But look at Oklahoma. They bring Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator from Washington State. He brings the quarterback with them, John Mateer. All of a sudden, you know, their offense wakes up and is scoring a lot of points. So I think you have to take a look at not only the coach, but, like, could that coach bring some players with you, and all of a sudden we can build a little momentum out of nowhere? I think that's what's interesting about the Nebraska situation is, if Penn State, you know, hired Matt Rhule, does that all of a sudden make Dylan Raiola, the former five-star recruit who's the starting quarterback there, started every game since he's been on campus, does that put him in play? So I think that that's something you've got to take a look at if you're a non-traditional power and you're trying to get something going. Can we get a coach from one of these, you know, better group of five programs that maybe has a little bit of talent, and get that coach to bring those players with him? I think that's we've seen with Indiana, that's a recipe for success.
Yeah, it's really smart and really interesting. ESPN's Jake Trotter here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. Jake, last one for you. I overreact sometimes. I write people off too soon. There are longer amounts of runway, right? Stories are longer than maybe we give them credit for in our ex-Twitter news cycle. Is it too soon to write off Bill Belichick at UNC, or is this one of those cases where we've seen enough to know whenever it ends, it's going to end in failure?
I think we've seen enough. I'm not optimistic about that situation.
What went wrong there?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, we've seen this the other way. When college coaches go to the NFL, they don't really have a great understanding of what they're getting into. It's different in a lot of ways, even though NFL and college football are becoming more closely aligned than ever before with NIL and the House settlement and, you know, the spike in these front offices you see at all these college programs. But, you know, you go to UNC and you just think you're going to, because of your name and your track record, that you're just going to get everybody to sign up and come transfer there. You know, they didn't really have a great quarterback situation. You know, they brought in a transfer from Purdue. They brought in a transfer from South Alabama. The transfer from Purdue went back to Purdue in the offseason. And the transfer from South Alabama, you know, really hasn't, you know, played that much. So, you know, if you have problems at quarterback, you know, it can spiral from there. And clearly they don't have the talent or the cohesion, or maybe even the coaching to be a competitive program right now. And you saw it in the first game. They just get absolutely blown out by TCU, and it hasn't gotten any better since. And, you know, if you're Bill Belichick, like, how long do you want to get your head kicked in over and over? So I don't know that, you know, he's going to be there 10 years to try to turn this thing around. It feels like this might be a one or two and done, just the way that it's trending right now.
Jake Trotter, great stuff, dude. As always, man, really appreciate you, pal. Thanks for being on.
Good to talk to you, Bill. Take care, buddy.
You too, buddy. Jake Trotter on the show, ESPN college football writer, really, really talented. Jake_Trotter on the old X. Well, what are we rocking on buy or sell today? A little baseball? A little football?
We have a good amount of football. Okay. And we have a question about maybe changing the luck around, if it truly is going to work or not for one team.
Is there some magic out there for this team? We'll find out next on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Oh, Bill, great show, man. And I'd never heard of you before. And I'm a mailman here in Kentucky. I gave the show a shot, and I really like your format. I think Ryan does a great job for you. So I just want to start off.
Thanks, brother.
Props, man.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Well, welcome back into the show. A little update from Chris in Lexington. Yes, Ryan does a great job, but not with the kids. Trevor in Toronto, because earlier Ryan basically said kids shouldn't be allowed on airplanes. at bars or at baseball games. Ryan is begging for a Bum of the Week nomination. There should be a, you know what, I can't read this. That being said, I just skipped over something that they think should be done to you. That being said, I'll be remortgaging my house to take my son to a World Series game this week. Go Jays. I love that. Pete, you're right. Terrible question by Hickey, but you could have still answered. For instance, start, bench, cut, Bud Light, Bud Ice, all terrible choices, but you can categorize them no matter how marginal the awful differences are. Disagree. Start Bud all day long. Love Bud. Yeah, cut Bud Light. I don't love it. Or bench Bud Light and cut Bud Ice. It's disgusting. Kevin Folatar, stay tuned. Bill Ryder and Ryan Kidd-Hater Hickey returns after a quick commercial break. And they go on.
By the way, I never said these
you hate children.
Kids could not go places. All I simply asked from a parent's perspective, the
children.
Worst place to bring kids. That's simple as that.
When I got married, we got married in a church and we're Catholic, and we had to go to marriage, sort of like pre-marriage counseling. And the thing that they told us, earmuffs, kids, the three things that cause divorce the most are money, sex, and something else. I can't remember the third one.
Rock and roll.
But one of the lessons we learned is communication is really important early on. Set clear boundaries and understandings, right? You need to tell your fiance you hate kids. You just need to tell her. You just need to let her know in advance that you hate children.
I love kids.
And that you won't take them to ball games, and they can't leave the house, and they can't go anywhere.
I would love to take a kid to a baseball game. I'm just saying that experience is different than if we're just going, you know, with a couple of buddies.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to give you good advice because I'm your friend. Because I'm here for you. Let's do Star Bench Cuts. No, it's too by yourself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no! You threw me off with your kid hatred. Let's do the opener of the show.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Well, I'll tell you this. Jake Trotter wasn't at Ohio State, Michigan over the weekend. My brain broke today. I don't know what is going on.
We are killing it.
You broke my brain. I blame you for your...
Oh, here we go.
You'll take a kid to a baseball game?
I sell that premise. I stand by the question. Let's actually start with a caller question.
Okay.
Nate in Pennsylvania just got on the horn. Wanted me to ask you this buy or sell question.
Okay, got it.
Buy or sell, the Dodgers deferred Shohei Ohtani's money, right, going back to the big deal they gave him, because they know coming down the road a salary cap is coming, so it allowed them to still get Shohei while also having cap flexibility, so they deferred all the money so it wouldn't count against the cap. Buy or sell, you believe the Dodgers saw this coming and deferred the money primarily for future salary cap flexibility?
I think there's a lot of benefits for the Dodgers for doing this. I will buy that they are smart enough to have factored in there's a chance a cap could happen, and that that was one of the ingredients. Yeah.
All right. How about this? We go to football.
Okay.
Broncos head coach Sean Payton took a...
Oh, that's the worst.
I guess can we call it subtle? You can hear it for yourself.
Was it subtle?
Maybe not. He took a shot at Russell Wilson after Sunday's insane 33-32 win over the Giants. Take a listen to Sean Payton's comments.
I have a ton of respect for that organization. I spent four of my early years there coordinating Super Bowl, first game in this stadium before 9/11. Close with the Mayor Tisch family. And, you know, they found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mayer not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that change would have happened long after our game.
That change obviously being the quarterback change and keeping Russell Wilson in. Well, guess what? Russ has heard these comments, and yesterday in social media, he clapped back. The normally docile Russ tweeted, quote, classless but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media. And he used the sunglasses emoji, laughing, crying emoji, hashtag let's ride with another laughing emoji. Buy or sell? You like this response from Russ?
Buy. I do. It takes a lot to get me on Team Russ. And that a lot is Sean Payton. Let me ask you a question. You ready for a tough one? You ready for a doozy?
Very.
Okay. Let's say that we would agree that Russell Wilson has failed post Seattle. Right? He's failed. Yeah. Let's say that Sean Payton does not succeed in Denver. Let's say that near loss to a bad football team this past weekend and the amazing comeback in the fourth quarter is an indication of things to come. And he doesn't do well in Denver. They never win a playoff game there. Buy or sell in that situation, Russell Wilson will have had a better NFL career than Sean Payton.
Wow.
It's a tough one.
Russ has been to two Super Bowls.
Right.
One. Sean's only been to one, won it. Took over in a tough time after Hurricane Katrina, and that team was downtrodden. Got them to the NFC title game year one. Did ride a Hall of Fame quarterback for most of his career. Oh, boy. Wow.
Buy or sell Russ better than Sean Payton if Denver does not succeed under Payton.
Wow. I'm going to
sell.
Okay. Wow. Just because the length of success for Sean Payton in New Orleans was longer than Russ's high point in Seattle.
What's interesting is Sean Payton rode and clearly benefited from Drew Brees, but it's also clear in ways we didn't understand, a reverse New England Patriots, Russell Wilson really benefited from and rode Pete Carroll. It's a tough call. It's close. And that's one of the ironies of these two guys going at each other. They are very similar in their careers. I know they do different things, obviously coach versus quarterback, but massive success, but not at the level commensurate with the kind of praise they did or still do receive for their supposed genius.
Assuming we don't see a giant renaissance, and right. Giant just meaning not on the Giants, but just a general. Would you say Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer?
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I haven't looked. My first instinct is buy. The thing is, he never won an MVP.
Buy.
And I think the stat is he's never even received an MVP vote, which could be, you know, whatever. But that is truth.
It's tricky because I don't think there's even a question if he doesn't throw that pick to the Patriots.
Back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, because, I mean, I think we also say that pick led to a lot of frustration in the locker room, splintered
destroyed the team.
Right.
Yeah.
They probably have a great chance to three-peat or at least, you know, build some sort of mini dynasty. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Shows you how far his career's fallen, too.
It really has, quickly, precipitously.
Yes, you're right about that. The three guarantees in life, Bill.
Okay.
Death, taxes, and losing teams, blaming distractions for their struggles.
Real quick, I'm just going to judge you. You can buy or sell me. I hate the death taxes and thing. I love that. I don't know why.
Sell.
I love it. It's definitely
you
overused.
You love it.
It's definitely overused, but it does. I'm a cheap laugh. It does crack me up most of the
time. This isn't true if you're a multi-billionaire. Death is true. They're fighting back against that. But the taxes thing isn't really true.
Well.
All right, anyway.
You can, you know, force some numbers there, I guess. You got to work your way around taxes.
Got it.
They're still probably going to be there.
Death, taxes, and the point I want to make.
So, coming out of the bye, refreshed and refocused, the Ravens, according to the Baltimore Sun, Bill, have removed their ping pong table, cornhole boards, video game consoles, and basketball hoop from the locker room in order to have the team more focused. Buy or sell. This will have a positive impact on the team.
Sell.
No. Sell.
It's going to piss them off. They're going to feel like they're being treated like children. It's a pattern. They won plenty of games, important games, apparently with basketball hoops and video games and cornhole and ping pong in there. I mean, there's three guarantees in life. Death, taxes, and overreacting. And this is the third one.
Yeah, unless they can get Lamar Jackson's hamstring back better.
Right. Did Lamar hurt his hamstring running for a ping pong ball in like a Forrest Gump style competition? Then okay, maybe.
They are super banged up. Maybe it's the locker room. You know, there's fights in the locker room over rules.
Did you see this ping pong movie that's coming out? Have you seen the trailer? I'm a trailer guy. What was his name? Timothy Chalamet? Timothy Chalamet, do you know what I'm talking about? The actor?
I'm very aware of who you're talking about. I did not see his new movie, though.
His next big movie is like a drama about a guy, is an American, who's obsessed with being the best table tennis player in the world.
Buy or sell your interest on it.
Buy. I'm super interested.
Buy.
Looks amazing.
Buy or sell. You're one of these people that if you watch a ping pong movie, all of a sudden now become obsessed with ping pong and buy a ping pong table.
Well, I'm already amazing at ping pong, so I don't sell. I don't need that. I'm amazing at it. Why are you rolling around? I'm amazing at it.
Do you have a ping pong table at your house?
No.
Would this lead you to buying a ping pong table after watching it, I think?
No. But sell. If I had a big enough house, I would have a ping pong table. I just have a tiny little house. I once in Kansas City had a rooftop deck where we lived. Turns out Kansas City's a lot less expensive than LA. And I had a ping pong table on the top of my rooftop deck. And I would bring friends over and just pummel them.
It's not bad.
And non-friends.
Strange
guys I didn't like. You want to come up and play a table? Me? I'm like, yeah. No people from work I didn't like. Me? Oh, yeah.
Neighbor walking down the street with
their dog. 21-7, 21-7, 21-4. Have a good night.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. There's three things in life that are certain. Death, taxes, and me playing ping pong.
Three guarantees in life. Death, taxes, and trade rumors flourishing in sports. Speaking of which.
Okay.
Former SportsCenter anchor Trey Wingo reported yesterday that the Dallas Cowboys have inquired about trading for Raiders star pass rusher Max Crosby. Now, Mad Max does follow multiple Cowboys players on social media, so take that for what you will. But NFL Network's Tom Pelissero did report that the Raiders met with their cornerstone player yesterday to inform him that they have no interest in trading him. Buy or sell, the Raiders should trade Max Crosby by the November 4th deadline.
Do we have this conversation every year?
Yes, because it's a guarantee, along with death and taxes.
Mm. So there's four. You have to make it four things.
Yes, that's right. Four guarantees. The distractions.
I'll actually buy.
Buy.
I don't think there's enough. I don't think there's enough wheeling and dealing in the NFL because there's not a culture of it. And who was on the show this week that pointed out that they'll do that in Kansas City? That's one of the teams that'll get aggressive at the trade deadline.
Ari Miroff.
And the Chiefs. There's three guarantees, you know, death taxes and the Chiefs being competitive are very, very competitive. Yeah, yes. For the right price, for the right number of draft picks, for the ability to try to, like, reload and jumpstart things under Pete Carroll next year, yes.
Three guarantees in life. Death taxes. Well, I guess we have the reports. And also, we have the questions about Giannis's future.
Oh, yes.
That's a guarantee.
Man, I wonder who first raised that. It's interesting. Interesting.
Brian Windhorst, as you referenced earlier in the show, Bill, said yesterday that the New York Knicks were the ones that ultimately decided to not trade for Giannis, not the other way around. Take a listen to this, courtesy of ESPN.
Now, I know that he says he's going to be in Milwaukee and everything. Nobody denied that report. Mm-hmm. Those talks happened. The Knicks were in position to get Giannis, and they didn't get him, either because they didn't offer enough, because they believe in this team, which is a totally acceptable answer.
The Knicks come into the season, Bill, with the fourth best odds to win the NBA Finals. Buy or sell? The Knicks don't need Giannis in order to win a championship this season.
Okay, so this is very nuanced and complicated. It's a great question. I'm going to buy it, but I'm going to explain why.
Buy.
Of course you want Giannis if you can get Giannis. He's younger, but if you can get Kevin Durant and fit him into basically the structure of your team without disrupting it too much, do it. What we don't know about this is what was required. What if they said has to include Jalen Brunson? It's a no, right? It's a no. Now, if it's Karl Anthony Towns for Giannis and picks, I'm goodbye. You can't let the door hit you on the way out. It was so bad. You can sell it. Sell it. It's okay.
Sell.
It's an honesty truth zone. There's death, taxes, and us being honest with each other and buy or sell. Yes, you can win. I don't think they will, but I think they can win as constructed, which means without Giannis and without details, it's impossible to make any assessment or judgment on what they should or shouldn't have done. The only assessment we can make is that a year ago when I wrote this was possible and everyone, including, I don't know if Brian did, I think he did, basically poo-pooed it. Bobby Marks, I'm looking at you. You're full of crap, guys.
Bye!
Buy my report from here.
Buy.
Yeah, this guy was on it.
I did it.
This one's a little long, so let's finish here, Bill. As the NBA and NBC returned for the first time since 2002, Michael Jordan kicked off the coverage. He was interviewed yesterday by Mike Tirico.
Love this.
And revealed this very interesting anecdote. Take a listen.
I was at the Ryder Cup, and I rented a house from the owner.
Sure.
He came over to do pictures. He had grandkids. And I was meet and greet and thank him for allowing me to stay in the house. And he had a basketball court. He says, I want you to shoot one free throw. I said, really? And I already paid for the house. He's got, like, he got to see me. So when I stepped up to shoot the free throw, it's the most nervous I've been in years.
Stop it.
Reason being is those kids heard the stories from the parents. about what I did 30 years ago.
Right.
So the expectation is 30 years prior, and I haven't touched the basketball.
I hope you swished it.
Absolutely. I got the most gratifying, that made my whole week, is that I was able to please that kid, not knowing if I could.
A lot there, Bill. So we'll start
That's
with this.
Cool.
Very cool. Buy or sell, you actually believe Michael Jordan was nervous before taking the free throw?
Buy, I believe it. I think
buy.
I don't think he's a liar like some other potential all-time greats. I think he is. I believe him. Unrelated to what I just said, totally unrelated. Buy or sell, and I'm not talking greatness or GOAT rankings or just buy or sell. You just like Michael Jordan, like me, a lot more than you like LeBron James.
Buy.
And I don't even hate LeBron James, but I don't. I just Mike seems so much comfortable in his own skin, doesn't he?
He's a great storyteller.
He's funny, dude. He's cool. Here's a quick story. I grew up in Iowa and the Chicago Burbs back and forth, and was a Bulls fan. Never saw Jordan in person. Worship Jordan. Love Jordan. When I was an NBA person at Fox Sports, I got offered the chance to have dinner with Michael Jordan and five or six other people, to fly to Carolina when he was the owner and go. And I accepted. But I had this one-on-one interview with LeBron James that I'd gotten on TV, and FS1 decided to use the interview to launch the network, and I had to be there to come out. So the night of our launch was the night. So, I mean, they're my employers. So I said, okay. So I canceled the Michael Jordan dinner to do what my boss has told me to do, to launch a new network. Buy or sell, I made the right decision.
Buy.
It kind of haunts me. I don't think I had a choice.
That's like, looking back, it's easy to say now you made the wrong choice. Go to Michael Jordan. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Right.
But like, that's unfair because you have to make that decision in the moment. You have no idea.
Right. And back then, I eventually was on that network all the time, but they had just moved me to LA and basically were like, welcome, we'll let you know if we need you on TV. So like, there was, you know, oh shoot, you got LeBron James on camera? I guess we need to have you come in and talk about it afterwards. Can you be here on Saturday? I was going to go have dinner with Jordan. Like, no, can you be here on Saturday? Anyway, it's a huge regret. I mean, this is a first world problem. I get it. But I don't get that nervous around athletes. I just don't. I would have been. I made a joke earlier about you having to wear an adult diaper, but it might have been required. I might have, you know.
Oh, this is yours. I'm such a big fan.
That's what it would have been. Mr. Nice to meet you. You're the best of all time. Do you want to be friends?
Can you tell me about your career?
He would have looked down at my shoes and been like, get out. Get out.
No cigars for you.
No cigars for me at all. Oh, that's it? We're done? You want to go
done.
Longer?
We went a little longer. I want to give that last one some time to breathe.
We got all the time in the world. All right, let's talk. You know, we didn't finish our NBA predictions from earlier in the show, so we're going to get into some individual excellence that we think will happen to the NBA this year with the season back and underway. We'll do that after a sports flash from the outstanding Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. After last night's twin bill, the NBA season truly gets rolling tonight, including Cooper Flagg debuting when the Mavs host the Spurs.
A little bit of everything. There's definitely a lot of emotions, nerves, anxiousness, a lot of it. So I'm just dealing with that. But yeah, it's a lot of emotions for sure.
This is also Victor Wembanyama's first game since mid-February because of his blood clot issue. Last night, the Lakers without LeBron began their season with a 119-109 home loss to the Warriors. Luka, 43 points and a dozen rebounds in defeat. And the Thunder outlasted the Rockets 125-124 in double overtime after one last celebration of last season's title. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scored 35, including the winning free throws with 2 seconds left. This was the first opening night double OT game in 20 years. And Brad Marchand made his return to Boston last night after last season's trade to Florida. He had 2 assists in the Panthers' 4-3 win and was brought to tears by the in-game video tribute. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on this Wednesday. Excited, Ryan, because on Friday I'll be doing the show from New York. We'll get a little face-to-face time.
How about that?
You know? We can work through anything that's going on in your life.
What?
Yeah, you know, like Ducky Hines writes, awesome Wednesday sports writer. My guy Ryan Hickey is not doing so hot. Shaking the hot take moniker Gelb gave him, a brewery is ideally not a place to take a kid to begin with. I liked the effort, but it was a bad landing. At least Hickey was right, giving to a bum of the week. Is that how you gave a few weeks ago when you did the double bum of the week?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Proving you can be right and still be wrong.
Just
like
marriage.
So, what?
Wow.
Slow
like
clap. Slow clap. That's, you know what wisdom is? Understanding something that you shouldn't based on your age or experience or what other people don't. That's wisdom. That's exact. Bam! Let's go!
Righter than you, wisdom right there. That's why you listen.
Hey, Woody Johnson, you listening? This is how it works! This Thursday Night Football preview is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. Thursday Night Football features two skidding teams trying to get the train back on the tracks as the Chargers host the Vikings. Los Angeles has lost 3 of their last 4 games after starting off 3-0, while Minnesota has lost 2 of 3 heading into this one. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell confirmed on Tuesday that Carson Wentz will be the starting quarterback for this Week 8 battle. I like how the teams are skidding, but they're also on the tracks. It's hard to skid on tracks because that's what tracks are for. Like a car, I screwed it up. A car skids. There used to be a read we would do. I think you worked on the show, and I did the show in the evenings, and I lived in New York City still, where it would be Patrick Mahomes drives the Chiefs bus to Miami. And every read, they wrote it because you have to read it as it's written. They wrote it. It was for CBS when they were
NFL and CBS. They're like weekend promos.
And the geniuses over at CBS would write it as if Patrick Mahomes were driving a bus, and I couldn't get it. And I would laugh. I would, you know, where you get a case of the laughs where you can't not. You're just losing it. I would be laughing so hard I was crying. I couldn't do the read. We put it off to the very end, and whoever was like just get through the read. And I couldn't do it. Were you there for that? I can't remember if that we overlapped on that.
I don't remember that exact,
okay.
But I do remember those reads being like, Tua assembles an aqua team, and they're going to swim around the moat and go into Kansas City and take down the Chiefs.
Like, Patrick Mahomes drives the Chiefs bus into Miami. Like he's there's no reason I should have lost. It just, he's driving the bus? They can't get on an airplane? All right, anyway, exactitudes. Should we do the NBA music for the last 3 minutes? Do you want to do the continued from earlier in the show, NBA predictions. MVP, I'm going to go on a limb here. He's got to be healthy. He's coming off from blood clots. He's not going to play on a team that's probably going to win a championship. I think Victor Wembanyama wins this year, and I think it's the beginning of his Shohei Ohtani-like, Mike Trout-like, before that run of he will or should win almost every year going forward if he is healthy.
I'm torn because I want to say Luka Doncic. When we saw last night, no LeBron, 43 points, and they lost, but really good game so far for Luka. But don't think the Lakers are going to be a top team, and it's hard to win MVP if you're not a top 3 or 4 seed. I think Jokic gets another one.
You do.
Nikola Jokic, you could argue he should have won MVP last year. He's,
wow.
The 2 times he's lost MVP in the last 5 years, right, to Embiid and SGA, you could argue he should have won it. So I think that continues. No voter fatigue this year. Nikola Jokic back on top.
Fun story. I got a tip about where Luka lives. It's not, I mean, it's sort of in my general area, and I was driving down a street the other day coming back from a grocery store, and I was on that street, and I sort of looked at the house that I'm told is his, and out front was a very expensive car with Texas license plates.
You're not saying.
I'm not just.
But you're just saying.
So it would it have been okay if he had been out there if I rolled the window down and be like, Luca! Just kept moving. Kept it moving.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Welcome to the neighborhood, buddy.
If you ever need anything, I'm Bill Ryder. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, good to see you. All right, Rookie of the Year, Cooper Flagg. This is a this is so easy.
Yeah, I'm going to copy on that one.
So here's the all right, let's do Coach of the Year. This is actually, I think, the one that is the most interesting. I think it's going to be Ime Udoka. I think the Rockets head coach, full renaissance, forced out of Boston several years ago. They obviously won a championship without him. Have succeeded without him. They're injured this year. I think Ime Udoka's coaching is outstanding. Durant's the missing piece. That team's been coming together. Give me Coach of the Year, Ime Udoka, just getting ahead of Doc Rivers, who finishes 30th.
Just a few points ekes his way by. I'm going to go my like Brown. Like, if I think the Knicks are going to finish like first in the East, new coach.
I don't like that hire, though.
I would agree. Definitely underwhelming. But if he gets them.
But you don't like the hire, but he's your coach of the year?
Because if the Knicks. If the Knicks are first in the East,
what are you doing?
They're gonna, because a lot of these NBA awards, I feel like they just reward, look at the top of the standings and say, okay, who's.
Are people allowed to take their kids to Knicks games, or is that on the list too?
I know you are allowed to take your kids wherever you want.
I'm just checking.
Whether you want to or not, whether checking. It's easy to, whether it's enjoyable is a different situation, different conversation. God.
You don't have kids. It is enjoyable to be with them. It's nice to take them everywhere.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, all I'm really saying is your experience at a ball game or wherever is different when you have kids compared to when you don't have kids.
How
That's
do
all I'm
you
saying. Know? Because it's just facts.
How do you know?
I had a younger sister. I know what it's like.
You don't know anything. You know nothing. All right. Thank you to Ryan Hickey. Thank you to Andrew Bogish. Thank you to Jake Trotter. I'm Bill Ryder. Thanks for listening. We'll see you here tomorrow, as long as Ryan allows the kids to do their thing on Ryder Than You.